Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. Today's, this month's theme is birth. Here's Prabhupada Kaj's calligraphy, birth. And I was going to talk today about the birth of a new self, which is something it's fun to talk about. And I'm going to talk about that, but in a little bit different frame. In the frame of birth and death. Because my wife, Lita, loves when I drone on about death. So I'm just going to do that. I can't get away from it. April's theme is silence and emptiness. That's really the, from my point of view, that's doing the death activity. And then May is its twin, doing the life activity and being born from that. So I want to talk about that cycle, really, of April and May, death and birth. I just came back from North Carolina, where I led a retreat. Very nice to be home. And there were some professors at this retreat from Wake Forest University who were studying mindfulness and meditation and how it relates to, they got a grant. You get grants for all kinds of things these days, or I guess in general, but how it relates to research, to doing research. And so they were from all kinds of disciplines, drama, and different ones. And there was one gentleman there who was from Sri Lanka, grew up in Sri Lanka. I forget what department he was in. But we had a nice chat about various things. He said this was pretty easy for him, he said, because when he went to an elite boarding school in Sri Lanka, and they got up at 4:30 every morning and did their homework for an hour and a half before breakfast. And if you didn't do your homework, you just had to sit there. So that was, he said, if anybody complains about, you know, the schedule here, he said, just tell them they're in a posh boarding school. To imagine they're in a posh boarding school. And he and I talked about Theravadan Buddhism and Mahayana. He hadn't had that much exposure to Mahayana. And I don't want to misrepresent or generalize too much about Theravadan Buddhism, about the old way. But my understanding is that in classical Buddhism, and we talked about this very thing, that the generally, the ultimate goal is to get off the wheel completely of rebirth and death, of birth and death. They put it exactly that way. To extinguish desires so that you don't have, you're not reborn. And can step off the wheel. And the way I learned to, I had a koan about this very thing, and I just didn't have time to look it up. But the way I learned to get free from birth and death, and I think this is the way, the Mahayana way, and certainly the Zen way, to get free from birth and death, is to completely go into birth and death. Is to completely embrace and learn to embody both activities of birth and death in our everyday life. So along those lines, I'm going through a Dogen phase. I can feel a Rinzai phase coming on, but hasn't completed itself yet. So this is a Dogen. Those who want to be free from birth and death should understand the meaning of these words. If you search for a Buddha outside birth and death, it will be like trying to go to the southern country of Yu with our spear headed toward the north, or like trying to see the Big Dipper while you're facing south. You will cause yourself to remain all the more in birth and death and lose the way of emancipation. Just understand that birth and death is itself nirvana. There is nothing such as birth and death, nothing such as birth and death to be avoided. There is nothing such as nirvana to be sought. Only when you realize this are you free from birth and death. So, according to Dogen, to become free of birth and death, you don't look for the Buddha outside birth and death. He's not off the wheel. He's very much in the wheel. He's in the cycle. And I was taught that way. I was taught to die every day and be reborn every day. And to really learn that cycle, learn what it feels like to die and to be reborn. When we do Zazen, which is of course I think this is our fundamental practice, that cycle. But Zazen is part of that cycle. And in that we do the dying activity, that is to let go of everything. And all of our concerns, we give up, you know, who's right and who's wrong. We give up all of the things that we love, and we give up all of the things that we hate, that we love to hate. We give up all of our preferences, and the world of opposites itself, the world of duality, and enter another world. Only by doing that, only by shedding all of those things, only by letting go of all of them, all of those things that really constitute our life, only by getting rid of those can we find this other world. There's really no other way that I know to do that. And then we come back. And then we come back and we're born. And we're born fresh. And I can still feel it after that retreat. It's been about 5 days. It's wearing off now. But you're born fresh. And you come back to those concerns. You come back to that life a little bit differently, with a different perspective. More, you know, fresh and light. And I will say this too, I think maybe it's worth saying, I say this sometimes at the tail end of a retreat, even though that yummy newborn feeling will fade, I will have the memory, the muscle memory of that, of what it felt like. And that over time, as we do it over and over again, starts to grow, that feeling for what it's like to be newborn in the world. I was baptized Presbyterian before I knew what was going on. They got me. And that's the way they do it in the Presbyterian church. And, you know, there's sort of pluses and minuses to everything. It's nice ritually. They sprinkle the water on when you're a baby, and you're ritually cleansed by that water, and you join the group, you join the Sangha together with everybody. But I did, and I still do. You know, when I was a Presbyterian, there were certain things about the Baptist tradition that I just envied. You know, I said before, my Presbyterian preacher used to call Presbyterians God's frozen people. And you know, in Baptist tradition, they just moved more more, and their baptism was like, first of all, you choose to do this thing, right? Like, you're already a, I don't know how old, however old, and you choose to, you say, you know, I am born again. I want to do this on my own power. And then you, they've got a tub of some sort, and you, and the minister, you know, dunks you all the way down, all the way under the water, and maybe even at, down to the river. Sometimes they do it down. But all the way under, vigorously, and then all the way up, sputtering. You know, like, and that, I, that is, you know, the, that is a corollary, it seems to me, of what, of our practice. You go down to a watery grave, you know, that's kind of what that is, that symbolism. And then you come back up, resurrected, come back up, born again, as they say. And that's the kind of, I appreciate that kind of vigorous practice. Maybe I would, Rinzai practitioner. But I would like to encourage you to, with, sort of energetically, it's a funny word to use, but to work toward and to energetically die and then to energetically come back to life and to do both of those activities fully, to immerse yourself completely and then to come back completely. And it should be a little bit daunting or frightening even, this practice, I think. We do it in a safe place just for that reason, that when you come back up, if you really go down and get super quiet, you may come back a little disoriented, and we are here to help you. You know, the church is here to help you dry yourself off. So that's our practice over and over again, to really hold with your whole body, go down, and then come back up. And as we do this practice of dying and coming back, I think one thing that happens is we get to know what the activity of death and, in a way, also the activity of life, certainly new life, feels like. There is a kind of activity there that is not only zazen, that does not only translate to zazen. And so, because our life is full of loss and it's full of new life, so that when we lose something, we can understand that activity as part of our life. When somebody dies, we can be there with that death in a way, in a fuller way. When we lose something, when we don't get something that we really want, and we have to do that. That's part of our practice, and it's also helped by this great practice of dying and coming back. And whether it's the death of a person or a project or a relationship. And I think it's possible for us in our own life to go through those cycles of death and rebirth more fully and in a more present way. Sometimes I think this path can be seen as misconstrued. Well, we call it the middle way. And I just want to suggest that the middle way is not kind of hewing close to a just the place in between happiness and sadness, for instance, or just the place walking carefully between death and life, or what, any opposites. We are the middle way because we have embraced both those sides, because we have both of them within us. And we know both of those activities, both the death activity and the life activity. Otherwise, we're kind of, you know, a little frozen and in purgatory. We know we have to know both heaven and hell. And over time, I think it's really possible to this is my final point, to become comfortable within the whole cycle of life and death, the whole cycle of birth and of death and resurrection. And this is a subtle point, but to intuit the whole cycle when we're going through any part of it. I was so happy to read this very thing in Dogen, in his Three Hearts. I just gave some talks on that here. And the third one is Vast Heart. And in the Vast Heart, he talks about knowing, going through whatever cycle, going through whatever part in the cycle you are in, for instance, in the calendar, and know that the rest of it is part of you too. And that changes the way you go through the cycle. So he says, a vast heart views everything from its most inclusive and broadest perspective. It sees the whole thing. It doesn't try to make a nest in a spring garden or darken with the colors of autumn. It doesn't try to hold on to that great, wonderful, comfortable place. And it also doesn't avoid going through the other part. And then it sees the changes of the seasons as one movement. Understanding light and heavy, for instance, as in relation to each other within a view that includes both. I just love that line. And I do feel there is some real truth to it, that if we've embodied this cycle, for instance, let's go with life and death, embodied that cycle, then we can more elegantly move through the cycle of lives and deaths that we meet. My teacher, Joshu Roshi, talked about cycles often, you know, whether he used the word cycles or not. And I thought on many occasions that there are so many cycles. It's worth mentioning, maybe. It's not just like a big cycle of this and that. I mean, there's little tiny cycles, there's big cycles. You know, every day we go to sleep. And if we can sleep deeply, completely do that activity, then we come up reborn and we can do our life activity better. Just as a for instance. You know, if we exercise and get our heart rate up, then we can really rest. These are little cycles. And when we work hard, I'm not sure where this fits in, but it just was so meaningful to me that at Mount Baldy Zen Center, whenever we do a roof, we change a roof. There were like 18 roofs and we were changing them, I don't know, one at a time. They were all leaking. And so we'd change a roof and we'd work really hard on that. And then we'd have, at the end, the Roshi would make a big deal of it, like, all right, we'd have a roof finishing party and everybody would have a nice time, and then we'd have a little, you know, relaxing couple of days, and then we'd get back to whatever it was. But there was that cycle built into it. Maybe it's Japanese culture. I don't know. But it was meaningful to me to have that as an example of a kind of cycle that I think is, one of the ones that I often think about is happiness and sadness. That when I am sad, do I intuit that there is also happiness in the world, that there is also happiness within me, that those two activities are part of my big self? And if I do, then I still go through sadness, but I go through it a little bit differently. If I'm happy, but I know that sadness exists in the world, I am still happy, but it's a different kind of happy. It's a broader happy, if you ask me. It's a more inclusive happy, one that includes sad as well. And my last example about that is with children. I think if we can realize these cycles also, if we can know that this is all a part of us, when somebody else is sad, we can enter their sadness more quickly. If somebody else is happy, we can have sympathetic joy with them more easily. And when our children, one of the things about children is they may not have the same cycle as me. And so to be able to enter their cycle more freely, if I know my own, I just think about the example of my son when he was little. I had some agenda, going to the store, whatever. That's my cycle, and he just was having none of it, and just completely melts down. And I'm still like, okay, we're on this cycle over here. Well, come on. But after a bit, I realized my job as a parent is to melt into that. Is to just sit in that puddle with him, and to let that cycle pass, and then go to the, So that's all I want to say about cycles. Really, I do think that if we can. If we can embody this most basic cycle of life and death, of death and resurrection, then I do believe that we can move more elegantly through our life.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.